I am Valerie Thompson. It's almost over. This interview, lasting 1 hour and 40 minutes with General Hudson Austin, was done to coincide with the 30th anniversary of the bloody massacre at Fort Rupert, Fort George, in which Prime Minister Bishop was executed in tragic circumstances. Fingers are pointed at hardline Marxist-Leninist elements loyal to Bernard Code, who embedded themselves into the NJM as the Organization of Revolutionary Education and Liberation, or the OREL, and operated during the process as a clandestine study group that often read literature from some of the foremost revolutionary writers and philosophers from the communist world. In this, the concluding segment, the general still supports the ideals of the Grenada Revolution and what it had set out to do to help improve the lives of the people of Grenada, Carriacou, and Petite Martinique on a new path of development. Let's return to H.A. as he takes off from where he ended part 4 on the note of the frequent visit to his modest home at Mardi Gras from the less fortunate in the community who often came to him for assistance in order to survive the daily difficulties to provide a meal on the table for their families. The general was jokingly asked if he did this in order to get involved once again in the political life of the country.
Okay, General, in looking back, what do you consider to be the standout things in your mind about the revolution, and also those things that you wish the revolutionary leader should never have done?
Would I never want?
I'm going to repeat the question. In looking back, what do you consider to be the standout things in your mind about the revolution, and also those things that you wish the revolutionary leaders should never have done?
Should never?
Have done. The things that they should never have done.
Well, the thing they should never have done is detain people. Too much detention there. That is what it is. Too much detention, detain too much people. Because while I was not in the process of saying who to detain and this and that and the next and that, I don't say that, but I was close to the person. Pat McLeish was the commissioner of prison. At one time, Pat McLeish called me. He said, Austin, look at the situation. Look at the amount of people we have here. We almost have 5 people to ourselves. So I take that up with them one minute in a meeting. And I tell them, he said, Austin, just to feed these people, who cost $1 billion a year just to feed them?
A million a year.
And that is when they start letting go people. I could talk to Morris. I said, it are people with detail up there, for instance, the same boy, Cosmos Richardson, right? Cosmos Richardson was detained when he was going into True Blue as a GVC to help out the fire. What did he tell him for?
Cosmos Richardson.
Huh?
Cosmos Richardson, you say?
Yeah.
Who then later joined the army?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So one day, this guy from St. David, I can't remember his name though. He used to work for the Nutmeg Association. And he said, oh God, I said, well, I didn't think that's somebody. But why was I at the GVC? I said, well, you know him. I don't know all these people who detain you. Know, I don't know. I never see a list of the detainees. You know. I said, I don't know my jurisdiction. He said, I have to do something about it. I knew I had my wife's good friend. So I went down to see my... Oh, shit, I'm moving it. I went down to see my wife and I spoke to my wife about it. I tell him, look what my fish tell me. Look what the situation is. So, a lot of guys was released for that purpose. Sent home, you know, we didn't release a lot of people. I remember again, this guy used to live right here, the judge in Bajalua, his name is again.
St. Paul? Lal St. Paul?
St. Paul. Mm-hmm. Lal Brother 18. And one of the guys from God said, well, I didn't take that man from man. He said, hey man, I'll let go of my man go home now. He said, that man didn't mean no harm to nobody. So I went up to Mars and said, Mars, and Mars said, listen, hey, just go up there and handle that for me for yourself now. So I went up to the prison and with the necessary documents and so on and released the man. So, after about the time when the fella see me coming to prison, see me as coming to release people. And due to that, I got over about 20 persons who were detained released, a lot of people. Same Leslie Pay again, wanted to see his wife. So I give my cliche letter telling every time my wife come to see him, just let him see his wife.
Eche, this is October the 19th. As your closing remarks in this interview, what message would you like to give to the Grenadian people?
Well, I would like to tell the Grenadian people, my heart's still bleeding for the revolution. Still bleeding. Because I know the revolution meant well for the people of Grenada. Revolution meant well for the people of Grenada. I remember the very first thing when we had the first big meeting. Well, I said, H.A., what would you like to see happen in the revolution? What is something you want to see done? If you had something to leave behind tomorrow, to free secondary education. I remember I had a friend in Wajalu by the name of Kenneth Edward. And Kenneth Edward had to drop out of school because his father was a plumber and he was released from his job and could not pay the school fees. So Kenneth continued. He was a bright fellow. I was then studying for Bennett College. I encouraged Kenneth to do a course of Bennett College too. Right now I was studying roads and highway and them kind of thing from Bennett College. Before I went off to class, and Kenneth decided he would study electricity. And he got a diploma as an electrical wireman. And he worked with the electricity. He got married from all kind of thing. I remember that. Free secondary education. The next thing I raised with Morris was Carnaval. Carnaval was always too close to the children's exam. I say, now we postpone, put back Carnaval for August. When it's holiday, the children could enjoy Carnaval. And people who was this could come in for the carnival. Right? Those are things I wanted to see done. Right? More work for the people. More work for the people. Right now, no, George. Right now, today in Grenada. Right now, I'm telling you. Yesterday morning, a man sent by me, sent a little daughter by me, and asked me, you could send something for me. Tell me, you have nothing to give the children this morning. He ain't working. George, you're supposed to know. Even when I hear the bad people still sending the children to me.
Is it an indication of poverty in the country?
Yeah.
It's an indication of poverty in the country.
Yeah. Sometimes, one morning I see a little fella going up the road. When he reaches the gap, he stand up. Right by the gap. You know I watch him, but I said, I want to. He put his 2 hands on his head. Little boy about 12, 13, I call him. I say, little one, come, what happened to you? He said, Mr. Austin. I say, you know my name then? He say, yes. I don't come here behind that shelter when he ain't coming. He said, my mother sent me down by my uncle to see if he could get a chain, but my uncle and me, we have nothing to eat. And I'm hungry, I know where I said, I want to put your hand on your head, you have to climb the hill, you know why you're living? He told me, living, we're going to buy Korea up there. I put him on the table. I make a cup of tea for him. I give him some cheese and some biscuit. When he done, I put $20 into the loop. I said, give him another. One man in the door knocking on the court. I see this woman in the van. She miss him in South Australia, you know me, but I miss what she tell me, Lucille or something, woman, you know. And they sent $20 for me to help them children on her man. She said, Miss Austin, my husband dead. Husband dead. I have 5 children. And I had no work. I said, I tell him to my uncle to see if he gets something, but the uncle wasn't. He was surprised, you know, watch. You see, Dougley, where Kellan and them living? Dougley, that little place, Dougley, inside there, about 18 houses. Anything they wanted by the source. Well, I used to get help. Like, fellas like Trophy. You know Trophy, I need. He would pack a box and set up for me. The next fella, Mr. C.K. Sylvester, to set up things for me too. Because I tell them the situation with a lot of people around the place. And I have a friend from up in, going by the dump up there. He used to get rice and them kind of beans and things and so. Sometimes he sent a whole bag of white rice for me. 2 bag of beans. I have a dog food to just distribute it to other people.
So H.A. may be ready to make a political comeback.
Huh?
So H.A. may be ready to make a political comeback.
No way. No way. Not that. The house I grew up in Edmonton, we were poor, we were never hungry. We always had something to give people. We used to walk land. You call it, we used to do it. We used to have animals. From rabbit, goma, sheep, goat, pig, cow. We had it. We used to plant cane. I see we used to bring with friends on in Petit Calivity. We used to have potato heap up like a stone heap in Petit Calivity. Because all the land they were to plant cane, they planted potato in it. Because the potato still keep the cane still cool. I only heap up the potato so we, you know, bring people. You know, they who buy any potato. Bring people, Tony and Leonard and all them fellas. We should give away the potato. So that's the woman come up here. You have to move.
General, I really thank you for this very interesting and enlightening interview. You shed light on a number of issues. I really want to thank you.
Well, George, I always wanted to give a Canadian journalist my interview. But you know, some of them Canadian journalists, when you come by here and you tell them something, they don't turn into suit them. I say, I want a truthful person. I try to get this girl to come. I tell you, how she did, ma'am.
Sherry and Noel, you said.
Yeah. Because I bet she found out what the 4 bagger had been in my house. Get her to tell her what the situation is. But tell her all you to give her a woman in the first interview. But when I was ready to give her the interview, when the halu-balu cool down, I was ready to give her, she go work for government information. So, when Ann tell me you wanted to see me, I say, okay. I'll give it to George. I'll tell it to my country man. Right? Some people might like your head. Right? But, as I remember once, I saw an article on a paper while he was in prison. By talking Morris, and saying he's a host, beater, he's a wife, beater, and all them kind of things. You saw it on your paper? Somebody will put that article on it.
It's possible. I can't recall.
I said, George didn't put that article in. I know who sent that article in. But I couldn't do that. He tried to degrade Mars in every way he could, George. Huh? But I could. Leslie Pay gave me a good insight into the person that is born on court. He said that from since he's a little boy. He must be the boss of everything. He knows better than everything. Everything he has better than everybody else own. If he can't ride your scooter, he mash it up.
Okay, General, thank you.
Yes. If it's anything more, I could help with anything. You're welcome.
I might be back again, don't worry.
Canadians in the region could no longer talk revolution because of Bernard Codd and Hudson Austin, the warlord. They turned a dream into a nightmare before we could celebrate the fifth day of a revolution this world was looking upon. You call that work done and labor lost, because Bernard want to be boss. So at any cost, Hudson Austin built a cross. They orchestrated a crucifixion that led to a Yankee invasion, betrayed the nation and turned back the revolution. Because of your greed for power, Austin and Pod, all you commit murder. But you made your biggest mistake with 120,000 lives at stake. Like all you started the Third World War and brought a colonial disaster on an oppressed people forwarding out of that struggle. Hey, Hudson Austin and Bernard Codd, these consequences you cannot afford. Was it Russia, Cuba, or America that made you commit such a grave crime? By turning back the hands of time, betray the nation and turn back the revolution. From England to Korea, Africa, the whole world over, all nations were concerned about this sudden overturn. The Democrats and the Socialists, Republicans and the Communists, they had the world confused with so much of different views. George Chambers was an invasion, Eugenia Charles a rescue mission. Bernard Codd so dumb, he smashed up the CARICOM. The comrade put water in the eye by making way for the CBI. Betray the nation and turn back the revolution. Thank you. for killing such a great leader. The innocent and guilty shall suffer under the hands of the colonial master, whom we thought had gone from Grenada. Thanks to God and thanks to Austin and their dotish way of thinking. What about Bishop 14 years of blood, sweat and tears? Instead of marching to defend their roots, they abuse the government boots. Now the PRA got blood on their hands today. They act like a band of real murderers, because the general passed the orders to kill the nation and turn back the revolution.
This is Valerie Thompson. I am sure that General Hudson Austin will disagree with many of the lyrics from Brother Valentino, the Grenadian-born Calypsonian who operates out of Trinidad and Tobago. The general has graciously granted us two interviews in which he sought to distance himself from the activities of Bernard Code and the decision taken by the revolutionary hardliners to execute the Prime Minister and his colleagues during the bitter and protracted internal feud within the NJM. It is clear that the crux of the problem within the NJM was the ambition of Bernard Code and his disciples in Orel to elevate their ideological leader to become the other joint leader of the party and revolution alongside Maurice Bishop. Hope you learned something from the General Speaks. Just a gentle reminder about the laws of copyright. No aspect of this interview should be reproduced without the express consent of the New Today. I am Valerie Thompson, signing off.